The trees made a scented darkness in which an army corps could have hidden from the sun glare without. "Here's the tail of the wood," said Ortheris. "He's got to come up the watercourse because it gives him cover. We'll lay here. Tain't not half so blooming dusty neither." He buried his nose in a clump of scentless white violets, and no one had come to tell the flowers that the season of their strength was long past, and they had bloomed merrily in the twilight of the pines. "This is something like," he said luxuriously. "What a heavenly clear drop for a bullet across. How much do you make it, Mulvaney?"
700, maybe a trifle less, because the earth's so thin."
Whop, 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 went a volley of musketry on the rear face of the North Hill.
"Curse them mixed pickles firing at nothing. They'll scare off the country." "Throw a sighting shot in the middle of the row," said Mulvaney, the man of many wiles. "There's a red rock yonder he'll be sure to pass. Quick!"
Ortheris ran his sight up 600 yards and fired. The bullet threw up a feather of dust by a clump of gentians at the base of the rock.
"Good enough," said Ortheris, snapping the scale down. "You sneak your sights to mine or a little lower. You're always firing high, but remember, first shot to me. Oh, lordy, but it's a lovely afternoon."
The noise of the firing grew louder, and there was a tramping of men in the wood. The two lay very quiet, for they knew that the British soldier is desperately prone to fire at anything that moves or calls. Then Leroyd appeared, his tunic ripped across the breast by a bullet.